We need to talk a little fantasy football, and of course, to do that, we bring in our good friend Dan Klaskins, the host of Fantastics on Sirius XM. Of course, he also was part of the Get Sports Info podcast and a writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy as well. Dan, how you doing this morning?
How we doing, fellas? We're happy it's Friday.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I'm going to jump right into this. This week, if I'm not mistaken, is the first week where we have four teams on a bye. So the pool of players significantly drops down. There's some pretty good teams that are off this week, including teams like Green Bay that have a lot of quality offensive players. So give me some of the people that, first of all, what is the effect of that, and how much do you have to dig deep now and find somebody deep in the waiver wires to maybe quick fill in your rosters?
Yeah, I mean, definitely bye weeks are problematic as the injuries also mount for owners. As you mentioned, first time four teams are on a bye, not just Green Bay, but Pittsburgh, very fantasy-friendly team, Oakland, Seattle. Here's the deal. Bye weeks, we got them going on to week 12. And between now and week 11, so the next 5 weeks, at least four teams are on a bye, including two of those weeks where six teams are on a bye. So I think what happens, especially early in the season, you have players perform well. You don't count on that depth, but depth will win fantasy league. So I always like to plan ahead, look out there a week in advance. Like, you know, yeah, we're talking about teams on bye this week, but no, Atlanta, Dallas, Tennessee, and the Chargers, they're all on byes next week. So if you're using some of those players, yeah, it's always good to look ahead and pick up players. And then as buys go away, as your players have cleared the buy, then you actually have room with that depth to make some trades and stuff. But you need to find some bye week fillers. And this week, I think, you know, real quick ones, Baker Mayfield, my quarterback bye week filler. I think he's out there in a lot of leagues. Also like Duke Johnson, running back, Chester Rogers, a receiver maybe you look at. And C.J. Uzama, with the Bengals. Definitely another guy out there on waiver wires. All those potential options to pick up in spots if you need him this week.
One of the guys I was looking at last week, he really kind of came alive. I mean, he had good numbers in the past, but really became almost like the focal back for that was the Bears' Tariq Cohen, who I have in one of my teams. Is he, do you think, going forward, the guy to really jump on? He's going to get the predominant number of stats here over Jordan Howard? Or you think there's just a matchup situation, and specifically, too, this weekend against the New England Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really frustrating situation because Howard's had some nice matchups. He looks like he's a guy that, you know, is going to get in there, but he continues to not really be involved to the point where we like. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I really feel like we've got an opportunity with both of these players being fantasy assets here. Cohen has that big playability game script this week. You know, you'd think against New England, they're going to have to be keeping pace, maybe catching up. So Cohen definitely rises up in those types of matchups. But I think they're both fantasy assets. I know owners are getting frustrated with Jordan Howard. Maybe now's the time to buy low on him. But until further notice, it's sort of sketchy sticking him in the lineup.
I wonder about Taylor Gabriel. People have been talking about him a lot lately, and I know he's had two big games in a row, but it seems like the Bears have so many people to pass to, and among those guys, I'm actually liking him now, you know, the best, but I don't know what you think about him, or the Bears have just too many receivers maybe to spread it out to bank on one.
Well, we're definitely keeping our eyes on Allen Robinson with his injury status for this week. It did not practice on Thursday for him. If he's out, Gabriel and Anthony Miller and really all these targets will probably rise up the board a little bit. But I'm with you. I've had a tough time buying into Gabriel, but here's the reality. The Bears paid him big money to get there.
And so not like Allen Robinson, though. I mean, but he's been a better receiver than Robinson.
I remember when Taylor Gabriel's contract came out, I was like, wow. I remember sort of catching my attention at something. And right now he's a pretty handy piece. I think he's a boomer bust, you know, wide receiver three. If I'm looking at him most weeks, he's going to have some big games. So I like him a little bit better in non-PPR formats and in leagues where maybe you get those return yards if he gets back in there on a punt or something out of the ordinary. But I don't know. It's a roll of the dice. I've picked up a lot of Anthony Miller after owners dropped him. He got hurt. Did score a touchdown last week. Still not getting a lot of targets, but I still think by the time the dust settles on this season, he's the guy from this receiving core that could probably make the biggest fantasy impact down the stretch.
Dan, I want to talk about some more running backs here. The big injury this past week was Devontae Freeman has been ruled out for the rest of the season. What do you think about Tevin Coleman's upside, not only this weekend, but for the rest of the season?
Man, I mean, here's the thing. It's week six. or 6 weeks in, we're going into week seven. So through 6 weeks, we've only had Devontae Freeman for two games. So we've already sort of seen what this looks like. And Coleman has yet to really take advantage of the opportunity. So I don't know. Yes, obviously with Freeman going down, his value comes up. I think he's locked in as at least a mid-range back-end RB2. But Ito Smith, the rookie, has been getting a lot of volumes, been more efficient with his metrics. I think he's sort of sliding in here to a weekly flex option and somebody to consider. But from Freeman's standpoint, I mean, this is a guy that we're not talking about an ACL or anything here. He underwent that groin surgery. He actually has to sit out 8 weeks. So we could potentially see Freeman come back at some point. Now, granted, it's 8 weeks from now, so week 15 would be the most marked. And with Atlanta sort of trending in the wrong direction here, I'm not so sure that I see them rushing him back into the mix. But I don't know. Coleman is disappointed thus far, and I'm not sure that it's going to turn around just because Freeman's on the IR. As I said, he's already missed four games as it is.
Now, this next question might be a little bit more complicated, but I'm sure a lot of fantasy owners are wondering this. The backfield situations both in New England and New Orleans. In New England, you got Sony Michel, the rookie running back, and you also have James Wright, the great pass catcher. But now over in New Orleans, you have the kind of the heavy runner, Mark Ingram, and then you have Alvin Kamara. How do you think both of those backfields will shape out going forward?
Well, I think everybody's overreacting to the Saints backfield with Alvin Kamara in there. And you know, before the bye, he had that disappointing effort. They were in a blowout win. They've worked him to death. I think both these guys are going to be valuable. I still think Kamara, to me, I just did my redraft rankings, and I've got him still number five on the board. Ingram, I like him as a top 15, 20 running back. So they're both useful there. I'm sorry, what was the other team? I'm drawing a blank here.
The Patriots.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the Patriots. Sony Michel. I mean, let's talk about him a little bit. Here's a guy that he's rushing out for three straight 100-yard games. He's second only to Ezekiel Elliott in rushing attempts. Only Todd Gurley's got more yards rushing than him over the last 3 weeks. So he is the volume guy. And I think James White still has a lot of play. Obviously, in PPR, he's good. But, I am concerned that the floor could be a little low for him on some weeks, especially as Josh Gordon gets more involved in this offense. Edelman, back in the mix here now. Chris Hogan's still there. Gronk. So I think the targets could go down, and there could be some weeks later in the year where James White doesn't really do it for you, but then there could be weeks where he's a top 10 running back. So still a guy I like as a PPR RB2 or flex play, but I think Sony Michel is the real deal here, fellas.
You mentioned something earlier about buying low, and I'm not a Jameis Winston fan as far as winning and stuff like that, but Tampa Bay is throwing for 368 yards a game. I was just wondering if Jameis Winston could wind up being, the rest of the year, wind up being maybe the top fantasy quarterback, especially if he could cut down on his interceptions a little.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to like about Jameis Winston. There's no doubt interceptions are going to be a problem. The guy's a gunslinger. He takes some really risky moves, but there's also sometimes lead to big plays. And if you look at what Fitzpatrick did in the first few games, well, most of the time when Winston was out, and then obviously what Winston's doing here, I think it's also a direct result of their defense is brutal. And they've been hurt by injuries as well. So they're going to give up points. They're going to keep up the scoreboard. They play in a division where you're going to expect some shootouts on a regular basis. So I do think Jameis Winston is potentially a top 10 quarterback. He's going to be frustrating at times, but really quarterback's such a deep position that, there's going to be weeks where he just sort of fades into the mix. There'll be a few weeks, I think, where he'll excel. But I love the weapons around him between Evans and Godwin, Deshaun Jackson. They have no running game, so they're going to have to pass the football. So I think good things are ahead for Jameis Winston and that Bucs passing offense.
Dan, let's do as we do every week. Let's get a rundown quick on the three positions, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, key guys that probably should be starting this week, and key guys that should take a bench.
Yeah, I definitely think at quarterback, Andy Dalton, I'm really going to endorse him this week. The matchup there in Kansas City, it's going to be a shootout. The Chiefs allow an average of 26.3 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, so Dalton struggled in primetime, but he did put up 34 in primetime against the Ravens earlier in the year. I think they're going to have to keep pace, so I really like him. I think, if we look at a player to sit at the quarterback position this week, not as excited about Deshaun Watson at Jacksonville, certainly a team that has been susceptible the past couple of weeks. But, I mean, Deshaun Jackson is not running the football. Deshaun Watson is not running the football. So I think that's a problem there. He only ran it two times last week. I think the Jags get the best of him. Running back, Alex Collins, I'm sitting him. I know he scored two touchdowns last week, but you're talking about a guy with only 2.8 yards per carry. So unless he scores touchdowns, he's not going to really deliver for fantasy. I like LeSean McCoy this week. I'm endorsing him as a top 12 running back in PPR leagues. So I know a lot of people think the Bills stink and McCoy's been a mess, but I think he finds his way this week. Jarvis Landry, a nice bounce back ahead at receiver for him. Tampa Bay's allowed 11 guys to either score or gain 100 receiving yards against them this season at the position. I think he becomes the 12th and does both on Sunday. And then, you know, if I'm going to sit some receivers this week, I mean, guys that Will Fuller, I'll throw him in the list. We talked about that. I'm not so sure I'm ready to roll T.Y. Hilton out, even if he returns. I don't really trust that hamstring, so I'm going to let him play his way in the lineup. And then at tight end, we talked about C.J. Uzama. I like him a lot this week against the Chiefs. And Greg Olsen back here, but, you know, I'm going to let him play his way in the lineup. A tough matchup this week against the Eagles. They're allowing the second fewest PPR points to the position this season. So just a few of the names out there to consider when you're making your lineup decisions.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dan, again. Always great stuff, great information. Again, he's Dan Claskins, host of Fantastics on SiriusXM and the Get Sports Info podcast. And again, you can see all his work on Pro Football Focus Fantasy. Dan, look forward to talking again next week. We've got another update. And my Packers will be back in action next week, so I can get those back on my active roster as well.
Oh, yeah. Get them back out there. Hopefully that bye week does Aaron Rodgers a little more rest on that knee. But thanks a lot, fellas. Enjoy the games and have a great weekend.